Sometimes it's hard to make a choice, to stick to one side and say, that's what I prefer, that's what I want. Some of us, I think, are better at making choices than others. I'm the kind of person that sometimes it's hard to make a choice. If someone were to say to me, what's your favorite food, I'd have a hard time thinking about that for a while. Spaghetti and meatballs is great, but then again, I really like pizza too. And if there was an apple pie there, I'm sure I'd have a slice of that. Or a steak hot off the grill. I mean, how do you really choose your very favorite? I joke with our kids sometimes that my favorite color is plaid. It's not that I wear plaid often, but, you know, you don't want to make a choice. So plaid's a good way to go. You don't have to narrow down the options at all that way. Now, favorite foods, favorite colors are one thing. It's okay to equivocate a little bit. But there are times when we need to make a choice. There are times when you've got to decide which side you are on, and those choices that we make at times define who we are. They're going to define how you live your life. They're going to define the way other people look at you based on the choices that we make. Palm Sunday was a moment of decision. For the people of Jerusalem that day, they had to decide, who do you say that Jesus is? What choice are you going to make about Jesus? And there are really only two possible answers. You could either say that day, Jesus is my King and my Savior, or you could say, Jesus is a false prophet who ultimately deserves to die. And those were the two choices that people made that day and in the days that followed. Earlier in the service, we read the story of the crowds that came out to celebrate Jesus, and they had their palm branches waving in the air, and they shouted, Hosanna in the highest, and the crowds made their choice. Jesus is our King, and we're going to honor Him as our King. He's the one who comes to save us. That's what Hosanna means. Save us. He is our Savior. But of course, not everyone agreed with that choice. A couple of days after Palm Sunday, Jesus returned back into Jerusalem, and He went to the temple courts, and He began to teach publicly there. And there are people who were listening to Him teach there in the temple courts who considered Jesus to be a dangerous, false teacher. And in fact, they were already plotting how they could take His life because they thought He was that dangerous. And so as Jesus was there in the temple court, surrounded by some of the people, I'm sure, who were there on Palm Sunday, waving the palm branches and shouting Hosanna, but also surrounded by those who were plotting to take His life, Jesus told the crowds a parable. And it's a parable that's really about Himself, but it's also a parable about the people who were listening to Him that day, the people who were rejecting Him and had rejected God's Word. So listen to what Jesus said. This is in Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time. And the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. And Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd, because the people held that he was a prophet. Like all of Jesus' parables, this little story teaches a big truth. And in the case of this particular little story, it also tells a bigger story. This parable is sort of a quick retelling of the entire biblical story. And let me help you see what I mean by that. The grand story of Scripture is the story of God and the people that He created and His relationship with those people and ultimately God's desire to redeem those people. You can take the grand story of the Bible and boil it down into three words: creation, fall, and redemption. That's what the Bible is all about. Sequentially in that sequence of historical events, but also each story within the Bible sort of retells that sequence: creation, fall, and redemption. God created this good world in which we can live and know Him and follow Him, and the world was good and just the way God wanted it. But then along came people who fell into sin. And all of us are a part of that fall. Anytime we violate God's law, anytime we hurt someone else, anytime we hurt ourselves, we fall into sin and we disrupt the goodness of God's creation. But then God, in His grace, wants to redeem us, wants to restore our relationship with Him, wants to set things back to the right condition of creation. Creation, fall, and redemption. That's the big story of the Bible. That's what the Bible is all about. And that's also what Jesus' little parable that He told just a couple of days after Palm Sunday, that's what His parable is all about. And it points us, just like it pointed those people who He was speaking to there in Jerusalem, it points us to a moment of decision. It points us to a choice that we need to make. The parable that Jesus told begins with sort of a creation story. The landowner represents God, of course, and He creates a vineyard. He plants the vines, He digs a wine press, He puts up a watchtower. He creates this good vineyard, just the way God wanted it to be. But then comes the fall. Then comes the rebellion. You see, the landowner hires some tenants to live there at the vineyard, to care for it, to work it, to produce a crop for the landowner. And those tenants do part of their job. But then, when the time comes for the landowner to receive the fruit of what the vineyard has produced, he sends his servants there, and the tenants decide, we want the vineyard for ourselves. And so they mistreat the servants. They kill some. They stone some. They send others away empty-handed. And the landowner realizes the servants aren't getting through to the tenants. Just like some people don't respect God. Some people don't respect God's Word. And as Jesus tells this story to the people of Jerusalem, and and the religious leaders of the Jewish people, he's wanting them to think back to all the times that God sent prophets to his people. You need to repent. You need to turn back. You need to follow God again. You need to get your lives right with God. And time after time, those prophets were rejected, and some were even killed by God's own people. And as Jesus is telling this story, surely his audience is understanding the historical references, the biblical references that Jesus is pointing them to. So the landowner then decides, because they haven't respected the servants that I've sent, maybe they will respect my own son. And so he sends his son off to the vineyard to meet with the tenants. Will they respect the son? Will they listen to the landowner's son? And this is where the moment of decision comes in Jesus' parable. As he's telling this story that reflects the grand story of God and his interaction with us and creation and fall. And here comes the moment, the offer of redemption. And at this point in the story, as Jesus is speaking to the crowds there, we need to understand that some who were listening to Jesus were a part of that Palm Sunday crowd. And they were the people who looked at Jesus and said, "This is the one that we want as our king. This is the one who's going to save us. This is our Savior. This is our King." And there were some in that crowd who gladly waved the palm branches and worshipped and honored Jesus. But then there were others who were listening to Jesus' parable. There were others who opposed him. There were others who, as they listened to Jesus, not just that day, but in all the days leading up to it, all throughout his ministry, and he healed people and he performed miracles and he taught and the crowds followed him, and there were always people who were standing on the outside of those crowds who were judging Jesus. He's a false teacher. He's a blasphemer. He claims to be God. He's a false prophet. He deserves to die for the things that he has done and said. In Jesus' parable, the tenants make their choice. The son arrives, and they decide this is our opportunity. If we kill the heir, if we kill the son, then we can have the vineyard for ourselves. And so that's exactly what they do. And that's the end of Jesus' parable, and it's a bit of an odd ending to a parable, not a happy ending for sure. And so then Jesus asks the folks listening to him, he says, "Then what should the owner of the vineyard do? What should the owner's response be?" And those who are listening to the parable answered wisely, because maybe they haven't yet realized that Jesus is sort of setting them up with this parable. And so those listening to the story says, he will bring those wretches, the tenants, to a wretched end. In other words, they will deserve the judgment that falls on them because of how they've mistreated the servants and now how they've killed the son. Instead of redemption, instead of restoration and grace, those who killed the son deserve condemnation. That's how they answer Jesus. And we think, well, sounds like a wise judgment. You see, Jesus told this parable to bring his listeners to this exact moment. If you understand about the tenants and the vineyard, then do you also understand about God's own Son who came into this world to redeem sinners like you and me? You might wonder what this parable has to do with Palm Sunday, other than the fact that it was told a couple of days after Palm Sunday. Well, there's a more specific connection, and it has to do with what Jesus says next. After the people answer Jesus, "Oh, well, the landowner should come and he should judge those those tenants and throw them out, and they deserve the punishment that is coming to them. Then Jesus quotes from Psalm 118. And let me read the second half of this psalm. And as I read this, you'll hear what Jesus says after the parable. But then listen also to what else you hear in Psalm 118. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. Lord, save us. Hosanna. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You see, Psalm 118 is a prophetic vision about Palm Sunday. It's a prophetic vision about this very moment in Jesus' life. It's a prophetic vision of this moment of decision that Jesus was setting before the people of Jerusalem that day. How are you going to respond to Jesus? What choice are you going to make? Some in that crowd will be like the foolish builder who rejects the very stone that God designed to become the cornerstone, the most important foundation stone of the whole building. Just as some will reject God's own Son and refuse the offer of redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. Others, however, will join that Palm Sunday crowd, and they will rejoice because Jesus is their King and their Savior. And here's what we need to see as we think about Palm Sunday, as we think about this parable that Jesus told, and that is that you have to make a choice about Jesus. You have to make a choice. Which side are you going to be on? There is no middle ground. When it comes to Jesus, you can't answer plaid. You have to make a choice. Either Jesus is King and Savior, or Jesus is a dangerous, false teacher who deserved to die. Either you join the Palm Sunday crowd, palms in hand, shouting aloud, Hosanna, or you join the tenants in the parable who killed the son and tried to take the vineyard for themselves. Now, some of you, maybe you've never made that choice before. Maybe you've never realized that you needed to make a choice about Jesus. Maybe this is the first time that anyone has ever said to you, what do you really believe about Jesus Christ? And maybe you're ready right now to join the Palm Sunday crowd. Maybe right now you're ready to say, I believe that Jesus is God's Son who came into this world to save me and to save all those who will give their hearts to him. Maybe you're ready to say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, not because he deserved to die, but because he went there to pay for my sins. Maybe you're ready to say, I believe Jesus rose again to everlasting life, and he can give me everlasting life too. Now, I know there are a lot of us here today who have made that choice. We've made that decision maybe even decades ago. And Palm Sunday and next Sunday on Easter and really every day of your life, you honor Jesus as your King and your Savior. And I hope that all of us will reach that point today, that we can say, Jesus is my King. Jesus is my Savior. Well, for us, for those of us who've been following Jesus for a long time, or for you, if today is that day that you make that decision, there is still a word of caution in Jesus' parable for us. we can still sometimes see ourselves in the attitudes and actions of the tenants in Jesus' parable. You see, if we're honest, sometimes we act like those tenants. Sometimes we live in the fall instead of in the redemption. Sometimes we reject God's word and we act selfishly and we choose our own desires instead of following God's will. So for those moments in our lives, let me challenge you in two ways to push back against the selfish tenant desires in each of our hearts and to stand boldly on our decision to honor Jesus. And the first is this, that we need to let the world know that Jesus is your King. That's really what Palm Sunday is all about. Letting the world know how we feel about Jesus. It's good to be here in church on Palm Sunday. We gather here in a safe place, surrounded by followers of Jesus, and we sing our songs and wave our palm branches, and we nod in agreement as the pastor talks about Jesus. And that's good. I'm glad you're doing that today. But we can't keep our faith private. Faith can't just exist within the walls of the church. If it only existed here, then faith would never reach out to those who don't yet know Jesus. And Palm Sunday is about going public. That's what the Palm Sunday crowd did. As Jesus rode down on the donkey down through the valley and up eventually into Jerusalem, and the people came out and lined the streets and they waved the palm branches. It was a public spectacle. It was loud. And I'm sure there are others who wonder, what's going on over there? And they heard the noise and they saw the crowds, and as they got closer, they realized, oh, it's Jesus. Oh, they're worshiping Jesus. And maybe some people joined in then. And we love Jesus too. Palm Sunday is about being public about our faith. And we don't have to march down the streets of Rockford. We don't have to proclaim Jesus is Lord out loud everywhere we go. But we do need to let the people around us know that we love Jesus. That He is our King. He is our Savior. You see, your calling as a follower of Jesus, the mission that God has given you as a follower of Jesus, is the very same as the mission that God has given the church together. We gather here to do ministry. We gather here to proclaim Jesus. Our mission as a church is also our mission individually, and that is to love people in Jesus' name and to tell His story so that other people can come to know who Jesus is and so that they can be loved in the way that God loves us. That is what our lives are all about, wherever you go in your life, whether it's at work or at school or in your neighborhood or spending time with your family or out shopping or wherever you are. We share the love and message of Jesus. And we do that as individuals, and we do that as a church family. So the question I have for you this Palm Sunday is, do the people who know you best know how you feel about Jesus? Do the people who know you best know that Jesus is your King and your Savior? Because we need to be letting the world know that Jesus is our King. The second challenge that really comes from the end of the passage that I read is to produce fruit that pleases God. Produce fruit that pleases God. Jesus said, speaking really to the people who had rejected Him, and Jesus knew as He looked out on the crowd of those listening to Him teach there outside the temple, He knew their hearts. And He knew, even as He told this parable, that He was speaking judgment over those who had already decided that He deserved to die. And so Jesus says this in verse 43, Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. People that will produce its fruit. And so we ask, well, what sort of fruit does Jesus want from his followers? Because apparently it's a pretty big deal to Jesus. Enough so that he's going to take the kingdom of God, that is a life of faith, the promise of salvation, away from those who have rejected Jesus, and Jesus is going to give that kingdom, bring it into the lives of those who are willing to produce fruit for him. Just as the vineyard in his parable produced fruit that was meant for the landowner, meant for God. So what is that fruit? I think it begins with what we talked about last week, and that is that we need, each of us in our own hearts, we need to repent. We need to turn away from sin, turn away from the rotten parts of our lives so that our lives can begin to produce good things. We repent from sin so that then we can produce good fruit. And it begins there, the transformation of our own hearts and lives. But then producing fruit also means we need to reach out to others. We need to love people in need. We need to join together in serving in the ministries of the church. We need to share the love and story of Jesus with people who are lost and hurting. Producing fruit for Jesus means that your life will amount to something. And it will amount to something that brings honor to Jesus. That when people look at how you live your life, the people who know you best will be able to say, yeah, that person makes a difference. Because that person is in my life is better. And it has something to do with his or her relationship to Jesus Christ. And if people can say that about your life, then you're producing good fruit. But if you're not sure that people look at your life and say, wow, that person makes a difference, then maybe we need to take this challenge a little more seriously in our lives. That we need to love people more genuinely. That we need to share the story of Jesus more intentionally. That we need to serve those in need and help those who are hurting. And do it in the name of Jesus so that your life will show the world who Jesus is. So this Palm Sunday, each of us has a choice to make. Will you join that Palm Sunday crowd? Not just today, but every day of your life. Will you honor Jesus as your King and as your Savior? And will you produce good fruit in Jesus' name? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we give you thanks today for Jesus, who is our King, who is our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that he not only taught and loved and healed, but also that he went to the cross. And as we go through this Holy Week, Lord, remind us of that story. Remind us to open up your word and read about how Jesus walked to the cross and there died on our behalf. And prepare us, Lord, to come back again next Sunday to rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, as we go through this week, I pray that you'd give us each opportunities to love people and even opportunities to tell your story so that others can come to know who Jesus is and why it is that we rejoice on Easter morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your love, and I pray that you would walk with us in all that we do this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.